Thanks. So, can you hear me?
Yes.
Cool. So, hi. I'm Victor. I work for Red Hat. And yeah, as Kanton said, I'd like to talk about handling strings in EBPF programs, something that has been kind of clumsy over the years. I'll talk about these string kfunks we've introduced in the past year. There's a couple of reasons I want to talk about this. First of all, obviously, so that you know about them and you know how to use them, you know what benefits they can bring. But the second is that while implementing these, it turned out that doing some things in the eBPF world may be a bit harder than you would know from traditional other like programming domains. So that's what I'm going to touch a bit as well. So let's start with like the motivation. Why would you want handling strings? Well, the short answer is because strings are everywhere. When it comes to BPF, especially like BPF tracing, but not only tracing, many hooks that you can like attach your BPF programs to allow you to access strings, such as like functions may have arguments which are strings. LSM hooks may have arguments which are strings. When you're processing packets or other networking data, there are like network protocols which are strings. So you want to be able to effectively or efficiently parse them and reason about these strings. So I've got a couple of examples here, like for instance, like matching file system paths. Like you want to know if a file you're tracing is inside your home directory, or matching process names, which is a similar thing, right? So for instance, you want to know about all the systemd processes, and systemd is not just a single process, it just creates a bunch of processes which do have the systemd substring somewhere inside, and you want to, you know, capture all of those. But it doesn't have to be just like these simple strings. It can be like environment variables, which can be huge. And there are several like attack vectors which target environment variables. So you want to be efficiently searching those environment variables for like malicious substrings, etc. Or as I said, like parsing protocol headers can be kind of tricky. Now, why do we need this like new way of handling strings? Why can't we use what was already there? There's two things you have to do, or you had to do in like when handling strings like manually inside BPF. So first of all, you would need to take the string and copy it from the kernel memory to your BPF memory, be it onto the stack or to your BPF map. And then you would usually implement a string operation like searching a string or something, a substring, getting string length, whatever you want, manually. So let me show you a quick example here. So let's have this BPF program which attaches to an LSM hook. This is basically an LSM hook, or a function, if you will, which executes every time a program is executed on the system. And let's say you want to check the base name of the program is being executed, right? So you have a program executed, you have a path, the executable, and you want to do some searching on the base name, so on the last part of the path. Traditionally, what you need to do, you basically have to go through the path and find the last slash, which, you know, divides the directory from the base name. So what you would do here is something like this, and I want to point out these two things. So first of all, as I said, you would need to copy the string into the BPF memory. In this case, we're copying it onto the stack, so you can see this path variable is a local variable, so it's allocated on the BPF stack. That's for one. And then you would need to implement a loop to go over the string and search for the last slash. And as probably most of you know, BPF and loops don't go together that well. For instance, like for this case, I was only able to, I had to limit the size of the buffer for 32 bytes, otherwise Verifier would reject this program. Obviously, I could use modern ways of looping in BPF, like BPF loop, that would allow me to go to a, you know, for longer paths, but still I'm limited by, for instance, like stack size. BPF stack is only 512 bytes, so it kind of limits you on the size of the path. Or you would have to store that path into a map, but that again brings some overhead which you have to deal with. So again, not something you really want when you want to do some like fast string processing. So, what is the answer to this problem? It's so-called string k-funcs. For those who don't know, k-funcs, or called like BPF kernel functions, are sort of a modern way of exposing kernel functionality to BPF programs. They are very much similar to helpers, although they have some like small differences that I'm not going to dive into. And the string k-funcs provide implementations of the most common operations over strings, which your BPF programs can use. So what are the advantages? Well, obviously eliminating the problems that I was just talking about. So you don't need to re-implement the functions manually, which is great. Like ergonomics is really good. And you don't need to copy the strings onto the stack or to the maps, which can eventually lead into even like small performance benefits. So let's see how these are implemented, because this is kind of interesting. So the first idea I had when I started working on these is, well, the kernel already contains implementations of the string k-funcs. Well, kernel doesn't use standard library functions, it does its own implementations, but they are pretty simple and they are there. Like, you have the, let's take string length. This is taken directly from the kernel, so it's a quite short, simple routine. So why don't we just call it? Right, from this is like, let's introduce a k-func, which just calls the string, or sorry, the function. What could go wrong? Turns out a lot of things can go wrong because we are in a BPF world, and there's a couple of properties that BPF programs need to have. They need to ensure, for one, they need to ensure safety, which means that the verifier is not able to check. So the verifier has some limited support for like k-func arguments, but it can only, since it sees this as a standard pointer, it can only check the first byte it's pointing to is actually a valid memory. But you have a loop inside, you want to loop over the entire string until you find the null terminator, and you want to dereference, you want to, you know, see the memory. But what if the memory is not there? It doesn't have to be paged in, which means you would panic the kernel, something you don't want, obviously. So we need to ensure safety, and plain dereference is not the way to go. Second, BPF programs must terminate. You can't hang the kernel. However, the in-kernel, well, all the common implementations of, for instance, like stringlang, count with the fact that strings are null terminated. You have the null terminator byte. But what if you don't? What if the string like doesn't end? Then, well, that loop would loop forever. Not something you want from your BPF program, right? So we had to come up with a different solution. And unfortunately, it turned out that the only good enough solution was to re-implement everything from scratch. Hopefully, luckily the string functions are sort of simple. And this is what it looks like right now. So it's a bit more complicated than what we have seen on the previous slide, but it's not that bad. I'm gonna show you. Let's see the features of this implementation. So first of all, we disable page faults because we don't want page faults occur during execution of BPF programs. This is something that is going to be called from inside the BPF program in the BPF context. So first of all, we disable page faults. This guard thing is kind of a nice, It relies on a nice feature of compilers, which will here insert like disabling of a page fault, and then they will enable page faults whenever this function ends, which is kind of